OkaVision.com.
As you can imagine, it was standing room only at the White House briefing today with White House spokesperson Jay Carney, and he had a special guest, and a lot of focus certainly was on that. The world wants to know more about Osama bin Laden's death, what happened leading up to it, all that kind of stuff. So naturally, front row seat, our Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News, she's always there. She gives us the inside scoop, rather, on what's going on in D.C. Victoria, first of all, before we dive into all of this, I just have to ask you this question, because this is what everybody's saying to themselves. Where were you on 9/11 almost 10 years ago?
Oh, on 9/11? I was here in Washington, D.C. I was hosting a show which was in the evening. So for the first World Trade Center tower, I was asleep, and I was immediately received a phone call. So I was awake for the next one because my show was late at night. So I was awake for that. I was awake for the Pentagon. And then, of course, I went into the radio station.
Yeah, it was, and I bet it was crazy. As I was doing radio in New York, it was just nutty. I mean, off the hinge, because we were both in places where things were obviously happening. Now we fast forward, and your reaction when you heard about Osama bin Laden?
Well, you know, and I was asleep, and again, so I got up at 3 this morning, and I switched on NPR, which was BBC World Service at that time of day, and they were doing special programming because bin Laden had been killed, and I was cleaning my teeth, and I thought, no, that's not true. And I listened again, I thought, that's not true. And then I listened again, I thought, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I wanted to tell somebody, and then I realized, oh, everybody knows except me.
Mm-hmm.
Because
exactly.
Everybody else was awake.
And then you realized you better hurry up and get to the White House.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, I didn't have to go in for a while, so I got the benefit of 2 hours of BBC World Service, which was great, and was able to catch up. And I got into the White House, and we had this – I was at the Medal of Honor ceremony earlier in the day with the president when he spoke briefly. And then, of course, the briefing this afternoon with Press Secretary Jay Carney and John Brennan, the Deputy National Security Advisor, and who was really, really quite fascinating as he talked about the raid and the planning and his thoughts about this.
Yeah, and talk about that, because I think John Brennan, to me, was very forthright. He seemed like he was giving out a lot of details, everything that he could. I mean, there were some things he wouldn't go into, but there were a lot of things that he seemed to give out. You've covered the White House, obviously, for a long time. Did you think did you get that same impression? Like you said, it was really interesting, but did you get that same impression that you were getting a lot of details?
Yeah, he was there to give us detail. I mean, there are briefings that you go to where you're writing down stuff, and it's like, oh, we're just getting talking points. I could have got this off a piece of paper. But he was giving us stuff. I mean, he was giving us opinion, and he was giving us stuff. I mean, let me give you one bit of opinion. This is a direct quotation. Bin Laden engaged in the firefight. He was living in a million-dollar compound far from the front, hiding behind women. It speaks to how false the true nature of the individual he was. That's a direct quotation from Brennan.
Wow. And he gave a lot of details about, and you were there for this, so you heard this. He gave a lot of details about why the burial at sea, because now, of course, people are questioning that. Everybody wants to see the photographs of the body. And what did he say about seeing photographs of Osama bin Laden's body?
Yes, he didn't go into a lot of details yet at that point about the photographs, although I understand now that they do have photographs of bin Laden's face shot. And they have a video of the burial. He said that bin Laden was quite careful. He was quite laid back during the briefing. Then he got careful when he answered this question. He said bin Laden was buried in strict conformance with Islam. He also said they made provisions early on, and they didn't. He said, I'm not going into details. He said, but they discussed courses of action, and the group looked at what to do with him and where to go, you know, if he died. And they determined the best interest for burial within 24 hours. And he said that, look, going to another country with him, i.e. taking him out of Pakistan once he'd been killed, would have exceeded that time period, he said. So in other words, he's dead. Then you've got to make arrangements with another country who's going to take him, get him out, arrange to get him buried and in the ground within 24 hours. They said that wouldn't have been possible. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what he said. He said they consulted with appropriate experts. He said, then they were asked, he was asked a question about how could they be sure that the body was going to go all the way to the bottom of the ocean. And he said the U.S. military has the ability to carry out Muslim burial and burial at sea, which I think is a sort of euphemism of saying that they weighted it down. Uh-huh. He said the appropriate people were there. He wouldn't say what that meant. And he wouldn't give us any details about who was consulted, including when he was asked the Saudis, who we've been told refused to take the body.
Well, yeah. Wow, that's a big one, because obviously they looked for a place to give him up. And he's from Saudi Arabia originally, from a big family there, a wealthy family there, Bin Laden is. So that certainly tells you part of the story. Another thing that Brennan was talking about is the future of Al-Qaeda. What did he say to that? As to now you cut off the snake's head, what does it mean?
Well, this was really interesting. He said a lot of things. He said it was a defining moment in the war on Al-Qaeda. It had repercussions. He said he was the head. He said this is a result of diligence. And he said that that's when he said when President Obama was faced with the opportunity, he had to make one of the gutsiest calls a president has made in recent history. He said it was a strategic blow. He said it can create fractures. Ayman al-Zawahiri is not charismatic. He has detractors within the organization. He went on to say, you will see it eating itself from within. However, it may be a mortally wounded tiger, but it still has life within it.
What did he say about the reaction? I'm going to go back here for a second, because everybody wants to know what that sort of war room looked like. And apparently everybody was gathered around. Is that right? Watching it?
Yeah, he said they convened around midday yesterday, and then when the operation got underway, the president rejoined them. Now, I don't have all the notes of this. I just have what I got managed to get down. He said they monitored it live. He said it was anxiety-filled, and minutes passed like days. They were very concerned about personnel. It was very tense. People were holding their breath. They were finally informed that they had found an individual believed to be Bin Laden. They were able to monitor it in real time. He would give us no details about audio or visuals. And when they had Bin Laden, they knew by height, they thought, then analysis. And the president's reaction was, we got him.
And what about the reaction of the Pakistanis? Because they weren't involved in this. So what did he say about that?
Well, it was interesting. He said about the Pakistanis couple of things. He said there was no engagement with the Pakistani forces. He said they're engaging with the Pakistanis today. They have had differences on counterterrorism, but Brennan was at pains to point out that the Pakistanis are responsible for capturing and killing more terrorists in Pakistan than any other country. He said the Pakistanis have expressed understanding about why we did this. But he also said that they were looking at whether there's a support system for the compound within Pakistan and that they're pursuing all leads. And he said that it was unlikely that Bin Laden would not have had a support system within the country.
Yeah, you would certainly think so. In the affluent type of neighborhood that he was in, how could nobody know or realize that that was going on? Well, I'm sure in the next couple of days, we're still going to continue to hear some more details of what happened with Osama Bin Laden and at the White House. I guarantee there'll be more focus on that, too, as this sort of trickles out, because it's such a huge, huge story. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, as always, thanks so much for your insights and joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you very much.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
He looks 5 years younger.
He doesn't fall asleep at his desk like he used to.
He no longer drinks those energy drinks all day.
He used to be gloomy. Now he's upbeat.
He obviously has lost weight.
He's now drinking Moringa in the Morning from BigJoe.us. Moringa is a delicious, all-organic, 100% bioavailable blend from the Miracle Moringa tree, considered by many to be the most nutrient-rich plant ever discovered. Moringa in the Morning will suppress cravings for junk food and energy drinks and make you feel like a kid again. Drink Moringa in the Morning, available from BigJoe.us. That's BigJoe.us. Vibrant health is just a click or call away at BigJoe.us or 800-503-0515. 800-503-0515. That's 800-503-0515. Drink Moringa in the Morning.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all his nooks and crannies in between. While everybody's talking about this today, Osama bin Laden, his death, no doubt about it. Attorney and Fox News analyst, author of the book Heart of Ice, Lise Wiehl joins us. Lise, thanks so much for spending some time with us on ATN.
Oh, great to be with you, Kate. What an historic day, right?
No kidding. I have to wind the clock back, though, just to ask you personally, because it's always so fascinating to me, because for the rest of our lives, we'll always carry this with us. This day, I think, yesterday, and the word that he was killed, that he's dead, and I think the day that it happened, 9/11, almost 10 years ago, where were you?
I was in Seattle, Washington. It was before Fox had hired me for, you know, to be here in New York. And so I woke up very early that morning just to go to a regular day of work, turn on the television, and there it was. And it was, you know, I was just on a little enclave there in Seattle. And the immediate response from everybody, from kids and adults and, people putting out flowers, and it was just heartbreaking. And, you know, I couldn't have been further away in this country. Oh, well, I guess it could have been Hawaii, but couldn't have been further away from New York than in Seattle. And, just the outpouring of outrage and anger and hurt and frustration where everybody was lighting candles and it was, you know, truly, you're right. You never forget where you were in that day. And I couldn't believe it when I saw the images on the screen. It was just, this is just not even you know, you can't even fathom this. And then the days afterwards, I had small kids at the time, and they came back with drawings. You know, they would have the drawings at school or in preschool at that time, and, you know, of planes flying into buildings. And I felt so, so sad for everybody.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. I think we're hearing the same thing from everyone else. So now we fast forward to yesterday, the president making the statement that Osama bin Laden was dead, that our guys took him out and gave some details
right.
on what happened. Did you hear that? What was your reaction to hearing that?
Elation. I mean, really, just that finally the wicked witch of the West is dead, or, you know, of the East is dead. And, you never want to hope for someone's demise, but this guy is having a tough time in a very toasty land right now, and I couldn't be happier for the whole country and for the victims and the families of 9/11 victims.
Yep, I agree with you. John Brennan, the Deputy National Secretary Advisor for Homeland Security and, of course, counterterrorism, and we know this
right.
is one of the right-hand guys of the president. He was trotted out today with the White House Press Secretary Jay Carney, of course, to answer a lot of questions. I thought a lot of what he said, he was incredibly forthright, and then he kind of reeled it in a little bit. Questions that people are asking, that, you know, they keep talking about the photographs of bin Laden. Is it really bin Laden? And why was he buried at sea? What do you make of the burial at sea?
Well, there are a couple of points. One is to honor sort of the religious tradition and to not get, people that would hate us even more riled up. But beyond that, I think there's a very practical thing, which is that we don't want his body being, you know, marketed through the streets of Pakistan or even sent back to the United States for processing, to have these visual images of people throwing themselves on the body like a shrine almost to him. Can you imagine that going out into the world? So very, very practical. Just get rid of the body. Do it in a religious way that is not being detrimental to his religion and therefore not sending a bad signal, and yet still very practically getting rid of the body quickly. So he doesn't become a martyr any more than, you know, he already wanted to be.
Yeah, I agree with you there. In looking at this, because what the first thing we all think of is the first thing that came to my mind is, well, how did this happen? How did this all unfold? Did you think they handled this well? They really kept it secret. I have some pretty good sources, and nobody I knew at the Pentagon.
Nobody
knew.
No, it was amazing. I mean, people on the Homeland Security Committee did not know. I mean, many Congress people did not know. But don't forget, you have to hearken back in history and look to Clinton, who tried to do this, to try to take bin Laden out years ago, and bin Laden was tipped off. So they got it right this time. They didn't. They allowed, you know, pretty much nobody in so that nobody could be tipped off.
Yeah, absolutely. So and then what I think is interesting now, too, is finding out where bin Laden was in this million-dollar compound. You know, you and I are both pretty smart. I have to think that other people think that in Pakistan there were a whole bunch of people that had to know he was there. Don't you think so, Lise?
Well, that's got to be the next, you know, one of the next questions we ask is how could he be 1,000 feet away from a military academy, basically, and nobody, you know, turned him in or nobody. This is not a guy that's easy to hide. But I also say, Kate, I said, let's just take a breath and step back for a day and just rejoice. And it's a happy thing. It's a good thing. It's a blow to Al-Qaeda. It's a step forward for America. So before we get into these questions, you know, just rejoice in that and rejoice in the heroes that we have in the Navy SEALs. I mean, these guys are amazing that they were able to carry that out, because no matter what the administration and whatever side of the aisle you're on, it doesn't matter. It was these guys on the ground that did it and did it right.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I love how you said that. Doesn't matter. I always say that. It doesn't matter about your political stripes. In this case, this is so true. And
exactly.
you have to tip your cap to, I think, President Obama, because I really think they handled this well, the way it all unfolded the last couple of days and from everything we're hearing. Do you think he did a pretty good job in handling this?
It from what I know and what, you know, you and I know together, I think he did a great job. I think he got the job done. And that's what, it wasn't just Obama. He's building on what Bush did before him and what Clinton before him. So that's why I say we just take it as a nation and say, this is really a great feat.
Absolutely. And bringing up the former presidents, don't you love the way that he, of course, he called them both before there were any announcements, any of that kind of stuff, so that they would both know what had happened?
Right, because they had a part in this as well. I mean, absolutely. Both of those presidents, you know, left the office not getting the target they wanted to get, bin Laden. And now they all, now they have. Now, together with all that intelligence, they have. And it's just, it's a great day for the United States.
I agree. It was a sad day when it happened. You mentioned it, the kids and the drawings and the stuff that I
right.
saw in New York, my family and what happened there. But today, I think it's a great day for America. You're seeing American flags everywhere. You saw in New York City, Ground Zero, people celebrating, if you can call it celebrating, you know, screaming USA, and the same thing in Times Square, the same thing in Washington. It does fill you up, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I say to everyone, go use your First Amendment rights today and say what you think about it, because that's a wonderful thing to be able to do. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you think that this do you think this kills off Al-Qaeda somewhat? Because he absolutely was still a leader no matter what.
Not really. You know, I used to prosecute drug cartels, and there's the old saying of, you know, you could kill off the head of the serpent, and the serpent just grows another head. So, no, it doesn't quell Al-Qaeda. It doesn't quell the people that hate us. It's a big blow to them, but it's not over. And we can't be apathetic. We, as the president said, we have to be vigilant and keep going. This isn't the end of the war on terror, and we would not be smart to think that it is. It's a huge strike in our favor and a big blow to them, but it's not over.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's over either. Might be different groups, but there's still that hatred out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the unorganized chaos, you know, that's what they're good at.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have another book out. You just pumped these books out all over the place. Heart of Ice. Tell us about Heart of Ice.
Oh, well, it deals with a woman sociopath, not nearly as bad as Osama bin Laden, but pretty bad anyway. And then the three protagonists, the federal prosecutor, which I used to be, the FBI agent. I was an FBI brat, you know, dragged around by my dad when he was in the FBI. And then a TV reporter, which is, of course, what I do now, have to solve the crime, try to figure out who this female sociopath is. And it's a lot of fun, Heart of Ice. It's a good read. It's a good, clean read. You know, no sexually graphic scenes, no swear words, but it's still a great mystery. It's a real page turner when you've got those 20 minutes a night before you go to sleep to read something.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And that's what we needed. We needed when we were trying to go to sleep and all the heaviness of the day. Boy, we
exactly.
certainly don't.
Exactly. Dive into something fun.
Yeah, no kidding. Elise Wheel, I'm sure that you're probably swamped. You're talking to people all over the place, and we appreciate the time that you spent with us here on America Tonight.
Kate, absolutely. Anytime. You know that.
All right. Thanks, Elise. Coming up, more here on America Tonight with about the death of Osama bin Laden.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today. The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Yeah. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All-natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects, is safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled Dermatol.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
As we continue here on America Tonight, of course, the focus is Osama bin Laden, his death. Lots of reaction around the world and across America to this, and many of you calling us as well. Joining us on the show now, Andrew Fowler. He's an award-winning investigative journalist. He's a contributing reporter for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. He also has interviewed Julian Assange many, many times, and he is the author of a new book. The book is called The Most Dangerous Man in the World, The Explosive True Story of Julian Assange and the Lies, Cover-Ups, and Conspiracies He Exposed. Andrew, thanks for popping on ATN.
No problem, Kate. My pleasure.
Before we dive into the WikiLeaks connection, just your reaction. I'm asking everybody this because I think it's big. It's like when you found out that bin Laden was dead, what was your reaction?
When I found out he was dead, I wondered if he should have been captured and interrogated. I didn't celebrate his death. I don't celebrate death. But I know people would have been very happy. I saw the people outside the White House, and I understood what they were doing, although I didn't necessarily agree with celebrating death.
Yeah, there you go. That's very honest. WikiLeaks and the connection to WikiLeaks. What is the connection?
Well, the connection with WikiLeaks is that a couple of days ago, WikiLeaks put out a report, a Defense Department, United States Defense Department cable, which said that one of the high-ranking officials who had been interrogated at Guantanamo Bay had said that if bin Laden was killed, there would be a nuclear storm in the United States. And there's also a suggestion in another cable that there was an atomic weapon that was held in Europe, either to be exploded there or somewhere else, and if bin Laden was killed. Now, the proximity between that leak and the raid could be coincidental, or it could be that the United States was forced to move early because of the sort of fear that bin Laden would actually, you know, make a run for it, suggesting the heat was being turned up. I have no direct evidence on that at all. I know there's speculation, but I have no evidence.
Right. Well, the information in the cable, because that's what everybody's talking about, and that's what you were telling us about, where did that information come from?
Well, the information came from a couple of sources, but mainly from a guy called Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was one of the masterminds of the 9/11 attack on New York and Pentagon. And it was under interrogation that he was that he made these claims that the United States would suffer if bin Laden was killed. Now, the case of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is interesting because he was a really big fish for the United States to capture and to interrogate. And what he said was gave evidence to the United States that they were under threat. Now, the veracity of that information, when it comes from somebody who's being interrogated using very extreme forms of interrogation, like waterboarding, which is something that George Bush supported and actually condoned in the case of this guy, may mean that the evidence is actually contaminated because, you know, the guy may have said anything to stop himself from suffering virtual drowning. So that's a whole case of just whether that information actually is true. I mean, we kind of hope it's not, of course, but it may well be that they are planning some kind of reprisal.
Yeah. And of course, just like all of the pieces of what's now coming out about Osama bin Laden, how they got him, the burial at sea, all that sort of stuff. Andrew, you know that everybody wants to know, is the cable authentic? And how do you know? How can you be certain it is authentic?
Well, look, the United States Defense Department, to my knowledge, has not denied that this cable is correct and is a true record, and I think they would have done that. I think the U.S. would also have said right now that if WikiLeaks had compromised the operation, they probably would have said that by now as well. But going to the authenticity of the cable, as I say, it looks authentic. You can look at it. You can actually cross-reference it. It looks pretty straight. Also, WikiLeaks has a reputation for putting out cables that are only too accurate. That's sometimes the problem. You know, they actually are. They are the real thing, and no one denies that.
Yeah. Do you, in all your dealings with Julian Assange, and this is fascinating to me, because he's either a hero or a villain or somewhere in between for some people. We've talked about him a lot on America Tonight. Andrew, a lot of people have reacted to WikiLeaks. And like I said, they either hail him as a hero and then or others vilify him. Tell us your impressions of Assange after all the times that you've talked to him.
Well, Julian Assange is whatever you want him to be. I mean, he's a hero to some people, he's a villain to others. I personally don't believe in heroes. I think all of us are capable of carrying out heroic acts. Julian Assange is not anti-American. He is anti-authoritarian. He actually stands against authoritarianism. He believes in much of the sort of, if you like, if I can put a political label on this, the right-wing libertarian movement in the United States. He has great sympathy for them. In fact, he's staying in his country mansion in the UK where he's under virtual house arrest. He's actually staying with a guy who's a right-wing libertarian. Assange stands for freedom of speech. He said to me, I want to bring the First Amendment of the United States to the world. I want to bring free speech to the rest of the world, and that would be his aim in life. Now, this may come as a bit of a surprise to many people living in the United States of America, but that is Julian Assange's credo. That's what he says, and that's what he's really been trying to do. Now, whether, you know, you can't really have it all ways. You can't want to believe in freedom of speech, but say, as one of your senators has been saying, Ron Paul, he's saying, look, you know, we've got to have freedom of speech. That's freedom of speech, freedom of information. We want to hold the government to account. That's exactly what Julian Assange wants to do. On the other side, he's actually big on social justice. And those two things sometimes don't fit together. If you believe the government's doing the right thing or the wrong thing, you actually can also believe that social justice is maybe not the answer because it's kind of soft on people that are being that maybe need to be treated harshly. So he sort of straddles that really weird political mix between on one side the right wing, on the other side he's kind of on the left.
Yeah. You mentioned this in talking about where he's staying and being under house arrest. What do you make of the charges that were leveled at him connected to the Sweden and the women in Sweden?
Well, look, I mean, I think the Swedish law is very different from United States law. It's certainly very different from Australian law. And I think that those are the sort of complications that make it difficult to make a valid judgment without having gone through the evidence. But certainly Julian Assange went to Sweden to look for a safer place to put his WikiLeaks organization, because it has these really strong laws that protect freedom of speech, much the same as the United States, freedom of speech and protecting sources. The problem is the law also codifies the act of sex in a kind of strange contractual way, where anybody any time can change their minds and change the contract. So it's a complicated legal situation. I think that Julian was and has been in the past a kind of an innocent abroad in many ways. I'm not apologizing for him, but I'm just saying that he's not this sort of calculating character. He tends to do things, you know, almost like in a childlike way, which is quite bizarre for somebody of such a huge, huge intellect that he has.
Yeah. And having spent that time with him, and like you said, uncovering the fact that, okay, this is really what he's about. He's really about freedom of speech and First Amendment and bringing that to the world. Do you think Assange worries that his flame will be extinguished? Because, of course, we know he thinks he's a target. Is he a target?
Look, I don't think Julian Assange is a target for any sort of black operation by the CIA or any other intelligence organization. I think his greatest threat would probably come from some crackpot who, you know, someone who wanted like to... Anyway, I don't want to go into that because I don't want to raise those specters. But still, that's the sort of problem he faces. Not anything... The only thing he faces from the United States is possibly being extradited to the United States. And maybe on any offense that can be found against him. I don't think they're going to get the goods on him to say that he manipulated Bradley Manning, who's the guy who's actually charged with leaking the documents to him. I don't think they're going to get that information. I don't think it's there in a sense. It's impossible to prove. And I think that's what the United States has kind of come to that conclusion. But they may try to get him to the U.S. on another charge, a lesser charge. And that's what he fears.
Yeah, there you go. We started off talking about the cable. Do you think there's another cable or two that will come from WikiLeaks about bin Laden?
It's possible. I mean, there are 650,000 U.S. cables, U.S. State Department cables that WikiLeaks has, and only 4,000 of them approximately have actually been processed and been written about. So there's a good old 646,000, if my math is correct, to actually wade your way through. And I don't think they've actually managed to make their way through that lot yet. But I have no special information about that. But I'd be surprised if there wasn't more information about Al-Qaeda and operations things and that kind of stuff and bin Laden's plans.
Yeah.
But just by the way, what is really interesting is that when they got into the compound, the SEALs, they snatched a lot of the stuff, hard drives, thumb drives, that kind of material that would be, it's actually absolutely a treasure trove of information about Al-Qaeda's operations, I would suspect. The only problem is, is that they killed bin Laden. Well, that's maybe what had to happen because maybe there was a firefight. I don't know what happened there exactly. And we won't know the details of that for a while to come. But the information on those computer hard drives will be, as I say, like a treasure trove.
I know. Do you think that'll ever see the light of day, though? There's the $10 million question.
Well, it depends if somebody's got a sort of a way to leak it to WikiLeaks.
Yeah, and really, WikiLeaks is the funnel where it all comes out, isn't it? And I don't know that that's going to change.
Well, that's right. Well, that's right. And even if WikiLeaks fades and goes away, and you know, maybe that might happen, there'll be other forms of ways of leaking. You know, but look, I tell you, actually leaking via WikiLeaks and leaking, thinking you're safe in your little dark room, you press the button, the information goes out, it goes to WikiLeaks. It's not the answer because you still, as a human being, want to talk to the person who's going to publish that material, and that human connection can only be made by a human connection. And that's, if you like, what happened to Bradley Manning. He was somebody, if he was the leaker, he reached out for somebody to talk to about what he'd done. The trouble is he reached out to Adrian Lamo, who was somebody who was a snitch and dobbed him into the military.
Yep.
And that was the problem for him. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, Bradley Manning was a leaker, or that Adrian Lamo actually did the wrong thing by many people. Many people believe he did a very heroic thing.
Yeah, I agree. Andrew Fowler, thank you very much. The book, Most Dangerous Man in the World, The Explosive True Story of Julian Assange and the Lies, Cover-Ups, and Conspiracies He Exposed. Thank you. We appreciate your time.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hi, my name's Russ, and after my heart attack, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I needed to keep on working, but now it's becoming a problem. I heard about these garlic cayenne drops and hoped it would help me. Well, I've been taking them for about 4 months, and the way I'm feeling now, I can see how I just might make it to retirement. Thanks to ExtendoVite.
My name's Don Wiskin, and I want you to know ExtendoVite works. If you're looking for more energy or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from ExtendoVite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Our big story, food prices rise with gas prices. Economists expect food price hikes of 3 to 4% this year. From lettuce to tomatoes, virtually all fresh produce has doubled in price. In the past year, corn prices up 87%, soybeans up 41%, and wheat has climbed 54%. Demand for seed is extremely high. Stock up today while supplies last.
Yes, there is a threat of seed shortages due to climatic weather events. Be prepared. Save money. Eat healthy with SeedsNow.com. For a limited time, SeedsNow.com is offering a survival garden seed vault stocked with over 60,000 high-quality heirloom seeds, over 50 popular varieties. All SeedsNow.com seeds are grown in the USA, 100% heirloom, 100% non-hybrid, 100% non-GMO. Order now at SeedsNow.com or by phone at 818-584-1488. That's 818-584-1488. Remember, SeedsNow.com. Your number one online source for quality garden seeds.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boosts resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
Tonight, of course, we're talking about the death of Osama bin Laden. We would be remiss not to have this man on, terrorism expert Jeff Atticott. Jeff, we got to start with this. Your reaction when you heard about bin Laden?
Well, obviously, this is a great coup for the United States of America, a great tactical victory for our country, and we need to parlay this into a strategic victory. I think we need to look forward to the next step. I know there's a lot of of interest about, you know, who shot when and where did they get them and all this type of stuff, which is fine. But again, there's a strategic opportunity here that if we miss it, it's going to be tragic for this country.
All right. What do you think the strategic opportunity is?
Well, it's the quagmire we have in Afghanistan that President Obama, of course, after 8 months, made the worst decision he could make by increasing our troop level, because he's got us now into a situation in Afghanistan that we have to achieve victory, yet he's never defined what victory is. Are we fighting the Al-Qaeda? Are we fighting the Taliban? Are we trying to turn Karzai's regime into a democracy? Just exactly what are we doing there? And every day, of course, we're losing lives. We're losing a lot of money. And the president's never been able to answer that. We have the answer now. We have cut the head off the serpent. This tactical victory, the death of Osama bin Laden, he's the one that's responsible for 9/11. And now the president could strategically say, look, we've accomplished the mission, what we set out to do in Afghanistan. We are now withdrawing our forces within 3 months because we have achieved the victory. If we don't do that, we are going to lose. And whether we pull out 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, the narrative is going to be that, you know, that we were driven out. No one's going to say on the side of the radical Islamic extremists that they were defeated. And quite frankly, you're not going to defeat the Taliban. You're not going to defeat radical Islam in that region. They're too numerous. The obstacles are too great.
And this gives him the out, right? It's like you just said, hey, we've got bin Laden. We got bin Laden. Time to pull out. We did what we set out to do, and, you know, here we are. We can, like you said, strategically, this is the perfect maneuver. This is the perfect way to duck out.
It is. I mean, we can hold our hands up. We can say that, you know, we're not driving us out. We've accomplished what we wanted to do, and that's, of course, some spin because the president has never pointed out what we're doing in Afghanistan. But, you know, he's not unknown to spin things like all politicians. And this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity on a silver platter. But unfortunately, I just don't see the leadership to that degree. And of course, he did the right call when he decided tactically to send in our forces to kill Osama bin Laden face-to-face and not use a drone, and that's well and fine. But this victory dance is only going to last for a little while, and we have this opportunity to withdraw because, quite frankly, the war is against Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda's not in Afghanistan. They're now splintered. The psychological blow to Al-Qaeda has been devastating. We can use our special ops forces, our onesies and twosies, if you will, to track down these various splinter groups in Yemen and Somalia. But we just don't need this 100,000-man army in Afghanistan.
Yeah. What happened, as you know, as you're talking about not using the drone, tactically going in, all that, you know now that it was this compound. He was in, I'll call it an affluent-type area in Pakistan. How many people do you think Jeff knew in that neighborhood that Osama bin Laden was there?
Yeah, I think we had a lot of individuals that were in the know. They had to, but Pakistan's been playing us like an old violin for years. They take our money on the one hand, and they support the radical jihadists on the other because they use them as a buffer against Afghanistan. So ultimately, though, we did get assistance from Pakistani intelligence, and the takedown was accomplished. And, of course, officially they're going to deny that they had anything to do with it, but of course they did.
Yeah, that's what I think, too, because how could that possibly have happened? What do you make of the you know, a lot of people are talking about the death, killing bin Laden and then the burial at sea. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think everybody's got that right. It was a good decision. You don't want to leave the body around to make it a pilgrimage for people or build a mosque over the grave or something. So we had to get rid of the body. It's a good way to get rid of it. The president, though, needs to release the photos of and, you know, the still photos and, of course, the videotape that was taken of the body, and release the findings of the DNA test that they did, the tissue and the blood match up. And so, you know, let's be transparent. Let's get all that information out.
The because you and I have talked about this for so long about Bin Laden for, I guess it's been at least 2 years probably, in the many, many numerous times you've come on America Tonight. Were you surprised this happened now? I mean, I have a lot of good sources in Washington, in the CIA, in the FBI, even I'll say FBI, Pentagon, et cetera. Nobody, I mean, this was tight as a drum. Were you surprised by the timing of it?
Well, it we knew he was in western Pakistan. We knew that he wasn't moving, and so it's not that surprising. Ultimately, we were going to get him one way or the other. So it's a great day for America.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert. Your phone is ringing off the hook. Everybody's trying to get your opinion. Thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you.
Bye bye. All right, so talking to Jeff there, who said, by the way, we love Jeff, and we've had him on, like I mentioned there, for the past couple of years, and he's advised the CIA, he's been over to Mumbai, and helped the people over there after the mass killings, and just tremendous connections and knowledge on terror networks and what's happening. One of the things he mentioned, and we were talking about, is the at-sea burial. So the videotape and whether or not it's going to be released, that was one of the questions that was hammered home to John Brennan earlier in the day at the White House. They do have the photos of the bodies. Some people probably have seen them. You might have seen them. That's floating around. Not the official photos, we'll call it. But the White House counterterrorism chief told the group at the White House they're still trying to figure out, or deliberating is the best word, on release of all the material. I believe they'll make it public. What I heard from my own source is the videotape will be released. They're deciding when to do it, giving time to absorb the whole death of Bin Laden thing, meaning the Arab world, everybody else around the world, but in particular the Middle East. So expect that to be made public. Bin Laden was buried at sea from the deck of the aircraft carrier in the North Arabian Sea after being washed, according to Islamic custom, during a religious funeral. I think, and as Jeff said, they did it right. So I believe that tape is absolutely going to be made public for an important reason, to say, here it is, here's the proof, here's what happened, here's what we did. So still a big couple of days on the heels of the announcement from the White House on Sunday, very late on Sunday, that Bin Laden had been killed. Other questions that came out, and so many people wondered this, as to who turned over Bin Laden, and of course one of Bin Laden's most trusted aides picked up the phone last year, and that picking up of the phone ultimately led to the doorstep of Bin Laden. It was a monitored phone call. So years of searching for Bin Laden, it was the personal courier who was the key in the manhunt. The courier led U.S. intelligence, that group basically, not on the night of what happened on Sunday or the day, but ultimately information led that group to the compound in northeast Pakistan where the Navy SEALs shot Bin Laden to death. I think some people are still really trying to grasp the enormity of the death of Osama Bin Laden. If you have any thoughts, please share them with us. You know how to get to us through the website, americatonight.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hey, if you don't like America, then you can get it.